Episode 4. This is the fourth and final part in our 16th annual Pro-Life mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. We began our pro-life reflections on the first Sunday of October, praying with the apostles, increase our faith. And our faith grows through a personal relationship with Jesus. We reflected on what Pope Francis said in paragraph 4 of his encyclical letter, Lumen Fidei. Faith is born of an encounter with the living God who calls us and reveals his love. Transformed by this love, we gain fresh vision, new eyes to see. Transformed by the love of the Lord, we see things from his point of view, with his loving, divine eyes. Transformed by the love of God, we have a fresh vision of his commandments. Our fresh vision sees the laws of God not as mean, thou shalt nots, but as helpful road signs that make it easier to get safely home to heaven. In episode 2, we reviewed the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching about same-sex attraction. We were reminded that a same-sex attraction is clearly a disorder, but that disorder is not sinful. We know that any same-sex behavior is always and everywhere evil, but as with every immoral behavior, we can repent and experience the Lord's divine mercy and forgiveness in the sacrament of penance. Most of all, we stress that God loves each and every person because we are made in his image and likeness. He intensely loves us, but he does not love our disorders. He loves us, but he hates our sins. And we are eternally grateful that Jesus came to earth to save us from all our various disorders, sins, addictions, wounds, and brokenness. Last week in episode 3, we took a closer look at the very popular interview given by Pope Francis to the Jesuit priest Antonio Spadaro of the Italian journal La Civiltà Cattolica, and we discovered what the Pope said. The teaching of the Church is clear, and I am a loyal son of the Church. The teaching of the Church is clear, he said. The teaching of the Church has not changed regarding issues related to abortion, contraception, and same-gender get-togethers. So we encouraged one another last week in the words of St. Paul to Timothy, remain faithful to what you have learned and believed. We don't pick and choose to believe only some of the things Jesus tells us as if we were going through the line at the Old Country Buffet. We either believe all and everything Jesus reveals to us or none of what Jesus reveals to us. Jesus is either always telling us the truth or never telling us the truth. It can't be in between. We want to remain faithful to all we have learned and believed from Jesus so that when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth. This week, in episode 4, I want to reflect on something else that Pope Francis said in his September interview that you probably didn't hear about on the evening news. The first question the Pope was asked in that famous interview was, who is Jorge Mario Bergoglio? And the Pope stares at Father Spadaro in silence. And Father Spadaro says, Can I ask? Is that a fair question? Can I ask that question? Who is Jorge Mario Bergoglio? And the Pope is just silent. He's thinking. And he says, I am a sinner. It is not a figure of speech. It is not a literary genre. He says, I am a sinner. The Pope says, I'm a sinner, but I trust in the infinite mercy and the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? What a way to begin the interview. We didn't hear about that in the newspaper. And doesn't it sound like today's gospel? When the Pharisee prayed, he said, O Lord, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. When the tax collector prayed, he stood at a distance, way in the back in the temple. And with eyes downcast, he humbly beat his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Kind of reminds you of the beginning of Mass, right? As we say the Confiteor. And Pope Francis echoes the words of the tax collector. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, one of the goals of our October pro-life miniseries for all of these 16 years is to inspire all of us, most especially me, to say, I am a sinner. I am weak. I need help. I need Jesus to save me. Our pro-life reflections should inspire all of us to pray, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. But in order to say, I am a sinner, we have to know what actions are sinful. And that's another goal of our October pro-life miniseries, education in our Catholic moral teaching. To learn about what actions are evil. To know what actions lead us away from that intimate personal encounter with Jesus so that we'll avoid them. Or if we haven't been able to avoid them because of our weakness, to ask for his mercy and forgiveness in the sacrament of penance. In that famous interview, the Pope says, it is not necessary to talk about the issues of abortion, contraception, and same-gender get-togethers all the time. True. But we need to talk about them some of the time. Why? So that we'll repent. It's necessary to talk about evil actions some of the time because they really hurt us. They really take us away from Jesus and that loving relationship, even if we don't know it. And I really, 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 really want us all to get to heaven. I really, really want us all to have that personal encounter with the living Lord Jesus for all eternity. The Pope mentions abortion and contraception. And thanks be to God, more and more people are beginning to see that abortion is evil. Thanks be to God. But unfortunately, very sadly, still so many people do not believe that contraception is wrong. Many, many people believe that contraception's okay. It's not a problem. But contraception is a grave moral evil. And blessed, Pope John Paul II clearly tells us why. Take a look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2370. He says, contraception leads not only to a positive refusal to be open to life, but also to a falsification of the inner truth of conjugal love, which is called upon to give itself totally to the other person. That's profound. Contraception, he says, then, is not only wrong because it's not fruitful, open to life. He says it's also wrong because the husband and the wife do not give themselves totally to each other. They use each other as objects for pleasure. But the husband and the wife say in contraception, I refuse to give you all of me, especially that part of me that is life-giving. What if Jesus did that to us today and said, I'm not going to give you all of my body and blood today. I'm just going to give you some of me today, Jesus says. Oh, no. Jesus never uses contraception with us. He says, I give you myself totally, all of my body, all of my blood, all of my soul, all of my divinity. Everything is yours, Jesus says today. I hold nothing back from you. This past Wednesday night, thanks to the generosity of our good friends, the Knights of Columbus, we hosted Michelle Steele and Jim Smith, who came to talk to our high school students about the virtue of chastity. And they talked about the difference between lust and love. They talked about the dangers of contraceptive drugs that can cause infertility, breast cancer, and abortions. But their message was not just don't. Their message was so positive and life-giving. They encouraged our young people to live as a pure temple of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't say, thou shalt not. He says something like this. In our covenant relationship, I've called you to be a co-creator with me, to bring new souls into the world. In our fruitful love relationship, there's no room for contraception here. God has so much more for us. He wants us to cooperate with him in bringing new souls into the world and to the kingdom of heaven. What a vocation to be a co-creator with God. And so the Catechism of the Catholic Church rightly says in paragraph 2373, Sacred Scripture and the Church's traditional practice see in large families a sign of God's blessing and the parents' generosity. Large families are a sign of God's blessing and the parents' generosity. Thank you to all those parents who have been generous with the Lord and open to life. And if you've fallen into the use of contraception, it would seem to me the humble response is not the response of the Pharisee, who says, oh Lord, I'm doing pretty well if I do say so myself. It would seem to me that the humble response is not the response of, you can't tell me what to do. It would seem to me the humble response doesn't make excuses and says, well, I have good reasons for justifying using immoral methods. It would seem to me that the response is not the arrogance of the Pharisee, but the humility of the tax collector, who all he can do is say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. For whoever humbles himself shall be exalted.